Here is Hira and the host of the hour, first to follow the fox named Neve. Tex is defective here, the bear named M, to rest, conjectural, and retire around the long fire.
What?
The intro is defective.
Okay.
We don't know what the bear and the fox were doing.
I don't know what's happening to me right the second, so I guess fair enough.
I'm doing a bit about how sometimes there'll be defective texts with the poems, and then they'll and fill in what it could be, or they'll just put like a lacuna and say the text is defective here to remove all mention of books and reading.
That's true. We didn't read. We took this week off. I was like, it was like Monday night, and I was like, I haven't done any of the Arthur reading, and I will do it if you want me to. I'll fucking do it. But normally I give myself like 3 or 4 days and not 2 days.
Yeah.
And you were like, I also didn't get any of the Arthur reading done. I was like, well, let's fucking skip. And then you were like, well, then you didn't answer for 20 minutes. And I talked. I was like, oh, I don't think you're going to go for this. Let me sweeten the deal. We could still record something. I don't know what it would be. And then by the time you got back to me, you were like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Because I love skipping podcasts. This is the thing that you don't, outside of abnormal mapping proper, I fucking will skip anything. Love it.
Yeah. I think this was Monday. So I had to drive to pick up my wife and child because my child had a pediatric appointment. So that's what the interim time was.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to have to come out of therapy to the message. No, let's keep going. Read the chapters. Cause I mean, I would have, but I would have been very unhappy about it.
I was very pleased to not have to read. Cause I mean, I read one chapter. I read like the end of the Lancelot.
I've not cracked the book
stuff, but yeah,
this was going to be when I came off therapy on Monday. And by then you had decided to kick it down the road.
Yeah. And truly it was like earlier that day, I was like, man, it's going to be tough fitting in all the reading I have to do this week with like, I still have to edit Ornate Stairwells. We had to record that in two pieces. Yeah, I've been like just tired from work. I'm not going to talk about work, but I've just been tired. So, I was very happy to not have to figure out how to read. Especially cause work is also just making my like lunch hours, me have less of them. So, I have less time to just sit and
read at work. I mean, I do read at work. I read other books at work. Like I finished The Forever War, and then I read the next Brissinger section, and now I'm reading the Other Wind, whatever the last Earthsea book is. Cause I've been keeping up with that. I heard what the next season of Shelf by Genre was. Austin told me today it's stuff that I've read, so I'm free. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't know how public knowledge it is, but I will say I was excited to have a season I can sit on the sidelines.
Yeah. I still have not like caught up at all with the Earthsea stuff, but I want to, but it's also just like, and I don't want to just like cram it to cram it, you know?
No, you should read it cause it's good. Don't cram it to cram it.
But also lately when I've had time to read, I've kind of just been manga moded. So
yeah, no, I haven't touched a manga since we stopped doing Beach House, basically.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone I know is like super manga mode, and I'm like, I don't want to touch anime or manga at all, period. The end.
Well, one of the things I'm reading is Neighborhood Story, and when all of those are out, you are committed to doing a manga cafe with
So, but you know me, I'm buying those, but not reading them until they're all done.
Yeah. And that's probably not going to be until like maybe end of this year or something.
Yeah.
At the rate that they've been releasing. So.
Mm-hmm.
I've been enjoying it then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's like much detail to go into. One, because I'm just in the middle of it, and then also you're going to read it. So.
Yeah, I'm going to read it.
Yeah. But I do feel like it's interesting because like aesthetically some of it, the like fashion stuff is pointing a little bit more towards Paradise Kiss, but like some of the thematic stuff, there's like parts where it feels like Nana was like picking something up again, like an idea, and then like trying to do a different take on it or something. So beyond just like there's a few characters where you're just like, oh, this character just became like Ren. There's another character that feels less directly but like a little bit proto Takumi. He's not as much of an asshole, but he's like a little bit of an asshole. So but yeah, We'll get there when we get there. Yeah, I've also just been jumping around between a few different manga and not, like, shooting through something. So, I also don't have, like, a big thing that I've like, you know, read all of recently. So, but that, like, I read a fair amount of Cross Game over the weekend instead of, Mort d'Arthur. Some of that was that it's easier to just read on the go. Like, it's easier to, like, take a volume of a manga, you know, than the giant fuck-off Mort d'Arthur book, so. Yeah. And then I also just, like, it was nice out, and I'd been waiting for nice weather to spray paint the combined ray earth from Motoroid. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, maybe I'll test this. And then, like, once I did it, I was just, like, hyper fixated on, like, doing it. So then I built the whole model over the weekend. So, because also my kid was, like, excited to, I like let them help with, like, cutting the, you know, you'll, like, first you'll cut, like, the sprue part more, and then you, like, cut the little nub off. Yeah. None of the, like, stuff that needs a little bit more of a fine touch, but, yeah. And there's, like, two pieces that I let them spray paint, but I'm like, you can't, one, like, you're just gonna put too much spray paint on stuff, so, like, you know, you can't do the big wings, I'm sorry. But also, like, you probably should not just be standing here spray painting. You are a small child, and these fumes are dangerous, even though we're outside. So, yeah, that's, like, the big stuff that I've done. Once you paint the silver and gold of a Motoroid, it does look nicer.
Well, yeah, the gold was like Kyakushiki cheese gold. It was not a pleasant looking gold.
The like Motoroid one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like more of a yellow and not actually in any way gold.
Yeah.
So,
and there's three types. This is the gold standard. Pun intended, of Gunpla or just Playmo in general, is the Hakushiki, of which there are three varieties. There's the one that looks like a big block of cheese, which is the shitty one that has no reflectivity to it. There's the one that looks like a dollar store toy, which has, like, way too much reflectivity to it, where it looks like the cheapest gold foil plastic you've ever seen. And then there's the good one, which is the Master Grade 2.0, which looks fucking incredible. I think you've already built that, right?
Yeah.
I've also built one.
Yeah.
Looks great.
I've built that one. The spray paint gold is not nearly as nice as, like, the 2.0 gold.
Yeah, but, no, that's definitely, like, airbrushed on.
Yeah. But I feel like there's a fair number of, like, gold accent pieces in Gunpla that you'll get that have sort of this color gold. Because it is just, like, one of the Mr. Color or whatever. I also got the Sazabi Red because I was, like, you know... I'll see. The like, injection's not the greatest on a lot of Motoroid either, and so the reds in particular, there's, like, these kind of fault lines where it feels like the, like, you know, the injections are coming down different runners, and then they, like, sort of meet in the piece, and, like, where they, meet, you have this, like, slight, like, off-coloring where it's, like, a little bit lighter.
You've extremely validated my gut reaction to never buy Motoroid models.
Yeah. I'm glad that I, like, got these because it's Ray Earth and I just care about Ray Earth that much. They're, like, some of my favorite robots ever. But, yeah, I would never buy Motoroid unless it's, like, well, this is just a robot that, like, Bandai is probably never going to do and, like, I just like a lot. Which,
yeah,
the Ray Earth ones feel like the only ones where that's going to be true, you know?
Yeah.
So I've built them. Like, I guess if they do, like, Nova's one, you know? Like, there's, like, a few that they could do, but, like... It would be Ray Earth ones. This is just the one where I'm going to care about it this way. But yeah, just doing, so the Sazabi Red ended up being, like, in terms of, like, the actual, like, hue and saturation and stuff, basically an exact match. It's, like, slightly duller as well, which I think looks nicer. Like, the Motoroid Red is, like, kind of a little too shiny sometimes. Especially because you want, like, the metal parts to pop, right? So I do think it looks nicer now that I did that. But also, since it was such a match, I just sprayed, like, I left them fully on the runners and just spray painted the whole runner. And then cut them out because, you know, the little nib mark is not gonna. I'm not somebody who meticulously, like, files every nib mark so that you can't see it at all, you know? I might do it for, like, one or two where I'm like, oh, this is going to be really prominent on the model, but, yeah. So, I think it turned out good, but, I'm also glad that most Bondi do not require spraying like this, so.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the cheese, Yakushiki right now.
Yeah, it's not pleasant, but I think the shiny gold foil one is worse, honestly.
Yeah, that was like the 1.01, right?
I don't know which one's which. Let's see. If I look at Yakushiki Master Grade, will that give me what I want? Not really. 1.0 give me what I want. It's not really that one so much as, like, if you look at the, I think this is probably from a fucking build or whatever, but if you look at the Yakushiki Rise Cane, like raise cane, I guess.
Raise cane.
Yeah, like exactly how you think it's spelled. Yeah. That is the fucking awful. I hate that gold. Like, that's super reflective.
Yeah. I had some Beast Machines with this gold on it as a kid, for sure.
I think I'd rather have the cheese.
Yeah. This is also, yeah, this must be from some other.
I don't know what it's from.
The, like, body is just weird on it.
Yeah. No, I don't know what it is. It might just be a model thing, I'll be honest, because instead of Google Image Search, I just went to all, and all it's giving me is the models. It might just be like, we asked some famous artist to fuck up the Yakushiki, make it look like shit.
Yeah.
Someone who listens to this will know the answer as to why that exists, but I don't know.
I feel like there's also sometimes where they just, like, want to do a different variant model, and so it looks slightly different, and so then they just, like, put it in a phone game or something that nobody fucking plays. There's that one Exia that has, like, the weird armor, and I was, like, I saw it because I saw the Gunpla of it. And then...
What armor? What are you talking about?
Let me see if I can find this one. It turned out it was, like, from some, like, weird side thing or whatever. Okay. But I had just seen it being, like, at what point does it get, like, weird, intense? I'm not finding it. Let me see if I can pull it up, but, cause it is just, like, a bizarre Exia. And I was like, is this going to show up?
The Avalanche Exia?
Yeah, the Avalanche one.
Yeah, this thing's fucking weird. This is like a double Zeta, but it's an Exia.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is from Mobile Suit Gundam 00V Battlefield Record, which I think is just like a stupid variant. Yeah, this is just a variation. So they made some short stories to sell you more models and art designs.
Yeah.
In the proud Gundam tradition of some horse shit nobody wants.
Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely just, like, being someone who buys Gunpla, saw this model, thought it was going to show up at some point in season 2. They're going to do, like, the double Zeta style one.
Yeah.
And then it just never came up.
No, you don't get that.
Yeah.
Some of the pictures of this, I think it looks kind of cool. And some of the pictures, I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And there's no in between.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It itself is a land of contrasts.
Yeah. I think when it emphasizes the, like, big chonk, especially in the legs, I'm like on board. Like, when it looks like the double Zeta, I'm excited. When it looks like the X with a bunch of shit on it, I'm like, I hate it. This is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. I don't like when the, like, leg thing folds down.
No.
Or when the leg armor is not on there, because it seems like you can take that off.
If the leg thing is folding down, it better be skiing, like in Gundam X. That's all I'm saying.
The one where the leg thing has, like, folded down and out, and then it just has beam savers on it, and it's just going full, what is it, General Grievous or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That one's so stupid.
I always think of this as the O. The O had the little sub-arms that had beam savers.
Yeah. It just being the feet in particular is funny to me. Yeah.
I can't believe it's my week off and you're making me talk about Gundam.
I'm sorry. We can talk about something else. What have you been up to?
Nothing. I've been watching TV and actually not as many movies as I would like, and reading books and being tired and doing podcast work. Been gaming, but I we're 3 days away from an abnormal mapping recording, so I can't talk about any of that shit because I'm saving it.
Yeah.
This is my problem. I have too many podcasts.
Yeah. Mood. Well, do we call it? Yeah, I mean, I feel like Gunpla and, like, I can talk a little bit about Cross Game, but, like, I feel like that's the thing I read the most of. But
why is everyone into Cross Game? Why did nobody read Touch? Is it because we're doing a Touch season? I hope it's everyone's waiting for the Touch season for GGP, because Touch is the... every time people talk about Adachi, I'm like, well, Touch is the one. Why would you bother with Cross Game? It's like 20 years too late. Who cares?
I should read Touch.
We will be watching Touch when we do Touch. Yeah. We'll not be reading Touch. I don't even know if Touch is like in English where you can read it.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. There's a part in Cross Game where they specifically advertise that you can get and read Touch even though it's old. Which I thought was great.
Yeah, when I've always heard of Adachi as a creator, Touch is the one everyone's like, oh, that's the fucking one. So it's always weird to me that I'm like, everyone I know is like really in a Cross Game. I'm like, that's from the aughts. Why would you bother?
Yeah. I've read 2 volumes so far. So, which is still in the beginning of, because it's like the Omnibus version. But... It's been fine. Like, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it's not, I feel like it's not hitting for me yet, and I don't know if it will in the same way it's hit for other people, but
I'm gonna read Rough instead. That's the swimming one. No baseball. Fuck baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's like a big spoiler thing that happens at the end of volume one that I don't know if I should like mention or bring up, but
No, yeah. I haven't read it. I mean, I don't intend to, but I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Wait until I finish my Touch season of GGP in like 2029, and then I can consider Cross Game.
Okay. Yeah. Especially because I've been like bouncing around too, like checking out a few different things. I was sort of tweeting about this on my Locked account as well. I think there's just a thing where I just like fundamentally want something different from romance than most romance novels and like book, manga and stuff are doing. which is part of why I'm sick of for Nana, because Nana's doing the thing that I want, which is just like loving someone is incredibly scary and means making yourself vulnerable to like being hurt, but also that's like a worthwhile thing, even though you probably will still get hurt in the process. And like, all the weird stuff around that. And most romance stuff is not really that, you know? So. But,
That's fair.
Yeah. But Cross Game does start when they are like 8 years old or something. And then it like time skips to them in high school. And I'm like, I really hope that this time skips to them as adults. because especially when there was some romance stuff with like 8-year-olds, I was just like, I don't care. You are 8. None of this matters.
I mean, if it's about baseball, it absolutely matters, because that's when you make or break your career.
Yeah. The baseball stuff does, but the romance stuff does, but in like a something just happens that makes it matter, not in like
sure
an 8-year-old romance. Actually matters.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's a baseball manga first and a romance manga second.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna keep with it. Cause I just know multiple people who really, like, really love it. So I figure I will, you know, go through the journey.
Yeah, fair enough. I feel like you should just read some romance books and not manga. I think that would probably fix you.
Yeah. I mean, if people have recommendations of good romance stuff that's going to do the thing that I want,
yeah,
let me know.
Fair enough. This is the fucking problem.
But yeah, it's the thing that I want, which is, you know, like the psychological, you have to contend with trauma to love somebody stuff that Nana's doing. And that's really the thing where,
well, could you please list all the tropes you're looking for? And I'm sure someone will get back to you.
It's not even tropes.
I know. I'm just saying, I don't even know how you discover books without like immediately crashing into the pack where all books are now categorized entirely by the list of things that happen in them, but like only formalized through like tropes.
Yeah.
As someone who tries to, like, I'm like, when I'm not reading for a fucking book club that I'm either doing or like listening to, I'm like, I need to get back into like just fiction for adults. And I'm like, it's impossible to explore that because everything's been so like commodified and like reduced down to where like, nothing sounds good because it's all just like a list of like, here's your yucks and yums for this book. And I'm like, fuck, I just want to die.
Yeah. I have a friend who went to, like school to be a librarian, but works at my job.
Yeah.
I would say like my closest friend at work, just like we talk about stuff that I would not talk about with any other coworker basically. And, at some point she wants to read Nana. And then at that point, I feel like I can be like, all right, now tell me books that are doing this. Cause I feel like of anybody, she has the best chance of like being able to do that. But, yeah, it's really like, I have friends who are in the romance stuff too, but I feel like they're wanting more of the, like the fantasy side of things. Not fantasy in terms of like, you know, magic and stuff, but just like, oh, the fantasy of a romance. And while there's like a little bit of that, it's, I'm just going to the genre for a very different thing, I think, than a lot of people. And it truly just makes it hard for me to find like good recommendations of other things to check out. Cause there's all sorts of stuff that I'll see people saying like, this is great. And I read it and I'm like, this is cute or like, this is nice, but like, it's none of it's giving me what I really want from romance. So,
What if you actually just want like a drama book that contains elements of romance? Because it sounds like that might be close to what you're actually looking for.
Yeah, that might be. But it still has to be the right balance though, because like I do want like heavy focus on like relationships between people and all of that. You know, I do want that to be like a core theme of it. So.
I would argue that most fiction is about relationships between people when you boil it down, but...
Well, yeah, but... It doesn't mean they're good at it.
Well, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. That has been a thing of, like, I want to get more back into reading, but also, like, so much of the space of the stuff that I read, like... Previously, a lot of it was stuff coming out of like, oh, I read classics and now I'm like reading some Icelandic author that's like doing weird things in relationship to like older text and stuff. So I've just never found like my in to romance stuff. So, yeah. And I feel like I have more of an into manga, but also so much of manga just really cares about high schoolers and high school romance in a way that I don't.
Yeah.
And I get it, like this is the demographics that they're trying to publish to, but
I mean there are definitely manga that are catered to different audiences. It's just like what gets brought on English and what even gets fan translated is just not that.
Yeah. I feel like there's probably a fair number of like Jose manga that I would really enjoy that just don't get brought over here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the answer is. Learn Japanese.
Yeah, I do need to try and do that. It just takes lots of time.
Well, yeah, look, I've stalled on mine, too. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, my other thing is, I was going to say VTubers, but Nerissa Ravengroff, the only VTuber I watch.
Your only VTuber?
Yeah.
I listened to her walk. She got her steps in. I was playing a game last night. I was finishing Felvedeck, which is a very cool RPG that I'll probably talk about on mapping. If you've got a Steam Deck and you want a cool 15th century JRPG, I mean, it's in the format of a turn-based RPG. It lasts like 4 hours. About cultists and being a drunkard and religion. It's a good one. But I was listening to her get her steps in, and she, I didn't remember what it was. She said something that was so unhinged. I was like, I gotta bring this up on Alf, and then immediately fell out of my head because she's just the person who says the most unhinged shit in the world.
Was it the unhinged shit that she said about Marine?
No, that I totally understand.
Okay.
Everyone feels that way about Marine.
Yeah.
If I could talk to, if, and everyone I know is like, if I could just, like, me and Marine could sit down and have a conversation, we'd hit it off. It'd be different for us. Because that's the power of Marine. She's just, she's beyond.
Yeah. Did you see that somebody clipped it and did Japanese translation and Marine saw it?
No, I did not. What did she say?
All that I saw was that she said, I can really feel the love.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves Marine. I don't know anyone who is into VTubers like, nah, not Marine. And if you are, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
You keep your bad takes to yourself, please. But no, she's just walking. It was very weird because everyone kept asking her if she was walking outside, and clearly she was not walking outside.
Yeah, you can hear the treadmill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I found it. Nerissa's love really came through. Love.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, she did like a members only version of the walking stream as well. But
okay.
I guess just like to try it out, but
I mean, it worked. I mean, it was, worked really well. I mean, it killed the time I was playing my video game. I didn't find it unpleasant.
Yeah,
because there wasn't really anything else in my YouTube sub box that I was like particularly interested in. So I was like, I'll put this on, and it was good background noise to grinding out the last dungeon of that game.
Yeah, I think she's really good at just the Zatsu thing of like talking. Yes. and
it's really funny because I feel like. I never see anybody clip her playing a video game. Like, nobody actually cares about her gaming.
Yeah. I mean, her Zatsu content is usually the best. And the best of, like, her playing a game is where she is, like, playing something where she's just regularly talking and, like, stopping playing for a little bit and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people are just good when they're performing video games, and I don't think she's one of them. I think she is aware of that fact. She's not, I feel like she is avowed not that much of a gamer. Like, when she does, she does fine, but, like, it's not what she's interested in doing.
Yeah. And when she does play a game, like, one, there's a lot of her, like, doing a collab game, because I think it's probably just the easy way to do collabs.
Yes.
Again, just do a talk show. Just do it, Risa. But, yeah.
I don't know if she'd be like a great interviewer. I feel like I'd have to see this. I don't know if I believe it. Interviewing's really hard. It's like a really specialized thing. She should get a podcast, though. I mean, like, Minta Matara's got their podcast, and I know Kiara kind of had one, and Callie's got one that goes up every once in a while. They don't record very often.
Yeah. But. Just get one where you're talking to somebody, right?
Yeah.
Just more like collab Zatsus or whatever. Just do that more often. Mm-hmm. But when she plays solo games too, I feel like most often it's like the horror game that she's gonna do, and she might not even play it for the full 2 hours, and then she'll like do Zatsu at the end. Or it's the one where it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna play like 8 hours of Stardew Valley, and it's like truly just like I'm not gonna be talking that much. Like those streams, there's like way less talking than when she's doing a 2-hour one.
So. She's just in a hole, just playing a video game while streaming.
Okay. And like she'll like talk some, but yeah, I feel like, and it's usually just like a smaller, because when she's like doing the really long ones, I just feel like there's less people. So there is like a little bit more talking with chat during the game than like sometimes when she does like a horror game or something and she's like more focused on the game. But yeah, I feel like it's more just like really chill and like her not constantly talking all the time and like responding to stuff.
You need a second VTuber. This is your problem.
Yeah. But then I have to go through all the work of like watching different ones. I feel like Fauna would be the vibe, but like just from what I've seen, I feel like Fauna would be a good one, or Kiara, but really I don't want a VTuber who like streams for a really long time. You know?
Yeah. Well, Kiara's not your answer then.
Yeah.
You want Fumoko, because they stream for an hour and then they're out.
Yeah.
It's not always true, but I know they're like way more performative than you want.
Yeah.
I recognize this. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I do think that Fauna probably has the general vibe. That I want, but I mean, it's also just the thing of like, there's still just like old Naruto video, like, you know, streams that I haven't watched. I watch other things too sometimes when I'm at work at home. So for this podcast, it would probably help if I was watching other VTubers, but in my day to day life, the amount, I just have the one and it's fine.
No, it's fine. You should get into someone that I don't watch so I can hear about them, is the thing.
Yeah.
I kind of keep up on Nerissa enough that you're not usually like dropping some like, oh, I didn't know about that. That's cool.
It's also a thing of like, because I thought about it being like, oh, there's some like VTubers that will play a lot of like JRPGs and I would probably just enjoy like the video games happening with that stuff. But also there's a degree to which like I don't want the thing that's actually happening on the screen to be something I care about that much most of the time.
Yes. Yes.
Because it is kind of just background noise while I'm working.
Yes.
And then I can just be like, she said this wild thing and tweeted on my lock Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't fully know what the answer would be, but I really like Bibu's vibes as well, but like
I love Bibu's vibe, but as we talked about last week, she streams for 12 hours a day and it's all like games I don't give a shit about. Like there's no way I'm going to watch her outside of clips.
Yeah.
And like I love all the Bibu tech stuff. I think her like her sense of humor is really good. It's just like I'm not interested in the like the long form content she makes.
Yeah. I definitely like check out the you know music videos when those go up. I'll check out sometimes the clips, although again I don't watch clips that much because it just often they end up being stupid and bad.
Yes,
like even if it's like a good streamer, I just extremely don't trust clippers anymore. But I do like that Advent very frequently does like group collabs, because then I get a little bit of like, oh, here's like, you know, Fumoko and
they seem much tighter than the other gens for sure.
Yeah. They do have just the vibe that they're like all actual friends and they want to like keep doing collabs together so that they like stay in touch. So
yes.
But
Also just like the inertia of a group, right? Like, I don't want to just like immediately like, oh, they're all friends. Cause I don't know if that's true. I have no idea. But it is good. It's weird. Cause it's like Fumoko are kind of doing their own thing, right? They're in Japan. There's two of them. They have radically different interests than the rest of Advent. So they kind of often sit out and then like Fauna will come in, which is fine by me. Cause Fauna is great. I love Fauna, and Fauna having a bunch of children to watch over is perfect for her vibe also.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing where I'm like, oh, Fauna might be the other like VTuber I would watch more of, just because keep encountering Fauna in like collab stuff.
Yeah, because she does a lot of stuff with Advent.
Yeah. That's all I've got, though.
Hmm. That's all right. You're allowed. I don't think I have that much either. I'm, like, not very interesting these days.
Yeah. I mean, we went into this being, like, we just record, like, a 30-minute hangout. So, we've done that.
Did we hit 30 minutes? Oh, yeah, we hit 35 minutes. I'm just like, damn, this is unlistenable. But it's probably not.
Yeah.
I just feel like, oh, do I have something else? And I'm like, not really. Like, I'm watching Halt and Catch Fire, but you don't care. And I don't really want to talk about it. I just finished season one. I'm like 2 episodes in season two. It's good. I like it. Yeah. I don't have anything to say.
It's one of those shows that, like, I don't really know what it is. Right.
So the first season is about, it's 1983. Right.
Okay.
And it's about this fake company called Cardiff Electric in Dallas, Austin. And they're building like an IBM competitor, Dallas. Like, yeah, a guy comes in, he's played by Lee Pace, and he's like a sales guy. He's just like sales guy in like the Don Draper, like just big dreamer about we sell anything to anyone. Yeah. And he's like, we can create a small computer, like a portable, and revolutionize the world and, undercut IBM. And he gets a bunch of people he finds this, young woman who's in college, played by Mackenzie Davis, and like convince her to drop her classes and come write the OS for this thing. And they work on that in season one, and it turns into a big fucking disaster, up and down. Very, like, the industry is messy, history of the industry, plus also it's like four big personalities, like the main cast, all bouncing off each other. And then they put that out. And then season two is like, Mackenzie Davis's character and, the wife of like the hardware engineer who worked at Texas Instruments then quit at the end of season one are forming like an internet startup for like 1985, and people are playing Atari games through like networks, like dialing in to a service to play against other people. And like, what if sometimes they talk to each other? We should build like a room where all they do is talk to each other. They don't play games. But they're like working out of a fucking house, and it's like 20 like sweaty nerds eating pizza all day. And they have to fucking mom these guys. And it's just like, I know that by the end, it's like the 90s and everyone's building search engines. It's just like the history of computers through these four people.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's extremely like, backdrop of technology, but more about the relationship drama of like, just disaster people written in the mode of like a prestige TV show, but it's never particularly dire. And whenever you're like, oh, I know they're going to go this way, it's going to really bum me out. They have to deal with this like thing that kind of sucks for a while. They'll just like swerve and do the other thing where you're like, man, I'm excited for the next thing. And it'll go bad. It always does, because that's how television works. But I feel like it's always doing a thing you're like, oh, I wish they'd do that. And you think they won't, and then they do with stuff. Which is all TV you can ask for out of TV.
Yeah. I think.
Is see where it could be boring and you expect it to be boring and then it's not boring. You're like, yeah, that's all I want.
Yeah.
For 45 minutes an episode.
Yeah. Oh, I think I convinced two coworkers to watch The Prisoner today.
Oh, fuck yeah. There's a show that's never boring. Pretty great shows I've made.
Because I recently watched the Columbo episode with Patrick McGoohan as a spy. Mm-hmm. That just has, like, he directed it too. And there's just, like, it's not all the way there. Like, the worst part of it is that it just makes me wish that I was watching The Prisoner. Yeah. But it's still, like, you know, good episode of Columbo. Because it's kind of like The Prisoner. Yeah, then I was just thinking about The Prisoner being like, man, one of the greatest TV series. And then by coincidence, one of my coworkers was like, oh, I watched this like Columbo episode. It wasn't the spy one. It was like the one that was two episodes prior where he's like the, military sergeant or whatever.
Sure.
And, I was like, oh, have you seen the like spy one with Patrick McGoohan yet? And it's like, no. And I was like, okay. If you're watching through Columbo, like get to that one. And if you love the energy, fucking watch The Prisoner. Do it. yeah. One of the greatest shows I've ever seen. So.
That's correct.
Yeah. Also one of the most M shows I've ever seen. I feel like you probably haven't made any progress in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, but.
No, yeah. Because I have to wait and watch it with Destiny, yeah. And she's never available.
Yeah.
I'm 2 episodes into a 6-episode run, and it's like pulling teeth to get further in. I really like the 2 episodes I saw.
Yeah.
Love them. They're great.
Me just suddenly remembering that recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It is on our list of things to do. It's just truly impossible to have obligations with someone who's in grad school and working full time.
Yeah.
It's amazing that Repertory Screenings is as regular as it is, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's it.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess we could be done. I still feel like I didn't bring anything, but that's all right. They can't all be winners. It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
And if you're like, no, it wouldn't be better. It'd be better if you hadn't released an episode. Well, I guess let me know and we'll never do this again.
Yeah. I guess we still might just get on a call and chat for like 30 minutes, but we don't have to release it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've always threatened to do this. It's never actually worked out that way.
What, just to get on the call and chat and not release
it? Be like, oh, we'll record it, and if it's not, you know, we don't have to release it. We'll just hang out, and it's like a podcast, but it's just talking. And in reality, those have always become real podcasts. It's never actually worked out that way for me.
Yeah, we have to go into it and not hit record, I think.
Yeah. But then the minute it's good, then I'll be like, fuck, we should have recorded that, and I'll hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But
also, if we weren't recording, I could talk about all our secrets. We don't actually have any secrets, but
yeah, not many anyways.
No, I don't think I have any secrets. Like, I have secrets for other podcasts, but not this one. There's nothing here.
Yeah. Well, to you specifically, I'm look forward to Ornate Stairwells tomorrow.
Thank God. Honestly. It feels like it's been 4 years since the last Ornate Stairwells. Yeah.
I should have released it on Tuesday, and then we would have something to talk about.
I mean, I was off work Tuesday. I mean, I would have listened to it today, but instead I listened to Mint Matara and Jeff Gerstmann.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think it will really come through on the episode, because I have this thing sometimes where, like, when I'm feeling really down, it might, though, and then I have to record a podcast, I just, like, go into overdrive.
Yes, I'm aware of this.
I think this is the most, like, the first half in particular of, because we recorded it in 2 parts, and the first half was just the most that I just, like, did not want to be recording a podcast. Because I was just, like, truly, truly upset about my whole work situation. Now I've like meddled a little bit. I've gotten slightly more used to like the weird asks that are being put on me suddenly. And like every day I'm like closer to this being over, 'cause it's just a 2.5 week thing. I'm like more mellow about it now, but that when we recorded that first half, I was just truly in the midst of it. And I was just like, I'm fucking tired. And I like, don't want to be recording a podcast right now. I don't know how much of that came through.
Okay.
I guess we'll see.
Well, listen to Ornate Stairwells. You should do anyway.
Yeah.
It's already out, and report back.
I mean, I guess if people aren't a patron, it's not out yet, but
oh, yeah, that's true.
If you're listening to this and you're not a patron, it'll be out tomorrow. But also, you should just become a patron at exportod.io.
That's correct. You can listen to Dragon Readers, where we talk about Aragorn.
Yeah. This has been fun.
Yeah, I'm like excited to get that time back, but I am enjoying the books quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's weird because, like, we cut down the reading a little bit, and so it's not, like, the biggest reading obligation in the world, but it's just enough that it kind of throws off my, like, doing other things with my work time.
Yeah.
We're 3/4 of the way through book 3 of 6, but, like, one of them is really short, so we'll be done before too long.
Yeah. There's, do I just start doing plugs? Go listen to Ornate Stairwells. Yeah. Listen to Pondering Putan with Hachi Shirataro and Hachi Mitsuboi. We released two episodes recently in one episode. So people can go check that out.
It was ridiculous because I was like, is this like a structural bit? Is it were they recorded at the same time? Because you kind of talk about the same thing. Was it recorded at the same time? I assume it was.
Yeah, it was recorded at the same time.
Okay.
We missed an episode because Connor was flying back when we were supposed to record, and then there was like travel delays and stuff, and so it went from, oh, I'm gonna like get back and have like a, you know, a little bit of time before we record, to like I might get in like a half hour after when we would normally start recording, and also I'm just fucking exhausted from today. I just want to go to bed rather than record a podcast. And I was like, that is absolutely fair. And so then I went to Connor and I said, we have two options. Cause I don't want to record 2 30-minute episodes tonight to like make up for last week. Do we want to just do a 30-minute episode and we just like label it both? Or do we want to do the dumb bit of a record 2 15-minute episodes back to back and then stitch them together as one episode that we release? That episode does have one of the, like, Connor and I just having weird brain meld things of him picking Brian Eno to be the, like, timer for the second one. And then me just, like, kind of expecting maybe this is Brian Eno, but is this just a ringtone? And having the whole thing of, like, we need to bring it back to Brian Eno right before the timer goes off. Sometimes we truly don't talk about what the bit is going to be, and then it just happens. Connor, my most drift compatible co-host, I think. You can just like put a mic in front of us and a podcast will emerge. But anyway. Also go listen to Ghost Divers, my anime podcast. That's the one that I didn't mention yet. Right. And follow me at FoxFamia on Twitter.
That's true. You can find me on Twitter at EM_being. You can find all my podcasts at abnormalmapping.com. There's an abnormal mapping coming out this week. I don't know what day that is yet because the schedule is going to be kind of jam-packed, I think. That might already be out. That might be out tomorrow. I don't know. You can watch me and Dia play My Summer Vacation 2 at youtube.com/@DiaLucina. That's been going great. We met a ghost girl. There's like someone's estranged mom now is in town and it's really fucked up. I mean, in like a low key, like sad, but like ultimately probably fine way. But I feel like we're about to hit some stormy waters in terms of the interpersonal relationships on that town. There'll be a VoIP Life out at the end of the week with Molly. Molly agreed to be our VoIP Life guest. I don't know what that is because we haven't recorded it yet.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
Really hope and that Gundam it's the run for your sake.
Oh my God. If Molly blows the run, I'm going to be so mad. I don't think Molly cares enough to like break the bit, like do the, like ruin it for us on purpose. So I don't think we're going to have to worry about it. I think Molly's just going to talk about video games or whatever.
Different
video games, not Final Fantasy.
I was trying hard not to say it.
No, everyone knows the situation that we're in. We need to fucking not talk about Final Fantasy ever again. ever again. Until Jackson plays the DLC for 16 and we'll report back on something, but hopefully the run will be broken and then we don't have to worry about it. One little segment is not going to spoil the soup. If it happens the week after this one, you know?
Yeah.
Gosh, what the fuck else is going on? Blockbusters is already out. Listen to that. It was on, Kingdom of Heaven Director's Cut. That movie's fucking great.
Yeah.
Just a parade of guys. Loved it.
I remember seeing that in theaters. It ruled.
The director's cut?
The original one, which probably isn't as good, but.
Yeah, because everything about the theatrical cut, I'm like, man, they really fucking took out all the cool shit in this, huh?
Yeah.
But still a cavalcade of great character actors. That's what matters. That's what cinema is to me. I think that's everything. Thanks to everyone who replied about repertory screenings last time. Did it make me feel any better? No, not really, but I still appreciated it. Yeah. The actual thing is no one can fix my problems but me. They're all my problems.
Yeah, same. I was giving out about this earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do appreciate it regardless. I literally was like, we could go down, we could talk about the Criterion May lineup if we ran out of things to talk about. We didn't get there, thankfully, and not that desperate. There's a Shirley MacLaine retrospective I would like to dip into because I haven't seen that many movies with her in them.
Yeah. I keep seeing they're going to do like the release of White God, Black, or what, Black God, White Devil.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's for like the June disc releases. Yes.
I'm excited about that because that movie was really good. And also it was one. Sometimes we'll watch something where it's like lower quality because it's from Rare Film M or whatever. And we're like, this movie is like fine when you're watching with like kind of bad DVD quality or whatever. You know, the energy of it comes through. That was one where I was watching it. I was like, man, I bet this would fucking rule on like, you know, good, like watching it on the actual film stock or like good quality
HD this new version. 4K digital restoration.
Yeah. So this 4K thing is going to probably look fucking incredible and people should check it out whenever that happens. So.
Okay.
Because that movie was exceptional. Especially just like the difference between how the first half and the back half is like shot and edited too is incredible. So. Yeah.
All right. I think that's everything. We'll be back next time with the actual Arthur reading. I don't think we're going to put it off another week. We just, things got a little busy, as it does. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next time. Until then, we are out of the podcast.
And then we were out of the podcast.
Thank you.